Really appreciate that message tonight and all the singing. And I was just sitting there thinking, I don't think I've ever been more confident that I'm following the right direction in the message tonight. Let's turn into Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 9. And I want to preach on this subject tonight, the exaltation of Christ. Of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. You know, we've been, as last night and tonight, have been reminded, we've had our minds, our pure minds stirred up by way of remembrance of the dark day that we're living in. It is a dark day. Amen. It should come as no surprise to us. The Bible tells us in the last days, it'll get darker and darker and darker. And we've received some good practical instruction in dealing with those days. But two verses came to my mind just as Brother Wells. Brother Wells, that's not your fault, it's my fault, but, was beginning to preach. And that is, in these days, there's something, we need to have the right mindset, because there are things coming upon the world that will cause men's hearts to fail them.
Yes, sir.
Such terrible things. I mean, it's heartbreaking to see this transgender stuff, the abortion, the mutilation of little children
Yes.
in this country, and 100 other things we could mention. So we've got to have the right mindset to deal with these days that we're in. And that's what God is talking about in Isaiah chapter 26, I think it is. And he says, God, thou wilt give him perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in him. So we got to have the right mindset. And then many years ago, and we've got to be engaged in the right pursuit in life. Many years ago, I was reading in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, and came upon the last verse, I think it is in that verse, and it's one of the most profound verses, I think, in the whole Bible. It's profoundly simple, but it's simply profound in its message. It says, overcome evil with good.
Right.
We've got to be proactive, as Brother Wells was preaching.
Yes.
We can't just be playing possum,
yeah,
you know, hoping the storm will pass by, getting down into our foxhole. But the Bible says, overcome evil with good. That's the only way to overcome. That's what the Bible says. Couldn't be put any more succinctly than that. The way to overcome evil is with good. That's God's way. But all of these messages tonight, when we started the service, first two songs, I think the only two songs. The first one that we had was All Hail the Name of Jesus. Or no, Let the Name of Jesus. I'd never heard that song before. It's beautiful.
Amen.
And then All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Let the name of Jesus, and then all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you to be in your house. We thank you for the good ministry of your word, the feeding of our souls, the stirring of our spirits through the good, clean word of God. Thank you for it. We pray that you'll help us now to remain alert to your word as it's preached. Father, I pray and thank you for the privilege you've given us all to be here together tonight. If there be any here that are lost, that they'll be saved, any of your children that are struggling in a special way tonight, that you'll deliver them from their struggles and set them free from whatever it is that's binding them, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, the Bible says in verse 9, what a tremendous chapter this whole chapter is. We'll refer back to some preceding verses later, but the Bible says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Amen.
Amen.
And given him a name which is above every name. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
That at the name of Jesus,
yes,
every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess,
amen,
that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There's our encouragement right there tonight.
Amen.
We have a Savior.
Amen.
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 We have a King. Amen. We have a Victor.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I want us to just look at this subject, the exaltation of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of victory in praise. Amen. God inhabits the praise of His people. And we're to lift up, as we sing, the name of Jesus. There's power in that name. His exaltation was a great event that was associated with Jesus' ascension into heaven. Brother Wells closed out on this note. After Jesus' resurrection, He ascended into heaven, and all of heaven broke loose. And in the midst of it all, God gave Him a name that is above every name. And so in this passage tonight, I want us to see here, number one, something very, very distinct about the exaltation of our Lord Jesus Christ in this name. Number two, I want us to notice this. And that is that the exaltation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be reminded of this. The exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ is deserved.
Amen.
Amen. It's distinct, it's deserved, and it's demanded.
Amen.
Amen. It's demanded.
Yes, sir.
Praise Him, praise Him. That's not a suggestion, that's a command. And it's for our good. And it's for God's glory. So see in this first the exaltation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't know why, but tonight I've really been conscious of the fact that we've been on the radio. I don't know if we are now, but I've been conscious of that as never before, that we're on the radio. And there's been some good warning go out for lots and lots more people that are than this good number that's here tonight. Great numbers that are listening, comparatively speaking, on the radio. And they need to be warned of judgment to come. They also need to be warned of the consequences of living the same way they came into this world and dying and going out the same way that they came in, which is as a fallen sinner. But then the whole world needs to know that we have a Savior.
Amen.
And His name is Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. He is a Savior whose exaltation is distinguished. His name is distinguished. The distinction in His exaltation revolves around the name that He's been given. And the Bible tells us how special that is. His name is sublime, and His name is precious. It's right here in verse 9, in that God has given Him a name.
Amen.
Amen. God gave Him this name. It's a God-given name. It's a special and a sublime and a precious name. It's also a name that is singular, and it is preeminent.
Amen.
It's a preeminent name. I mean, it is above all other names in significance. It's right here in verse 9. It's a name that is above every name.
Amen.
That means it's singular. And it's a preeminent name. That's why hymn books are filled with songs like this. What a lovely name. The name of Jesus. Take the name of Jesus with you. His name is wonderful. Amen. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing His word. Sounds like music to my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Amen. There's never been a name like the name of Jesus. Amen. Our songbooks are full of this. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19 through 21, speaking about the preeminence of His name, speaks of the exceeding greatness of God's power to us who believe. According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the world to come. I want us to all be reminded tonight that our pardon from sin is because of His name.
Right. Amen.
Amen, Brother Sutton. We're pardoned because of His name.
Amen.
1 John 2 and 12, John said, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for His name's sake.
Amen.
Amen. Our prayers are prayed and they're answered. They're made in His name. In John 14 and 13, Jesus said, whatsoever you shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. We preach in His name. Amen. I'm not preaching in my own name. I'm not even preaching in the name of any particular church. But I'm preaching in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Luke 24 and 47, repentance and remission of sins, Jesus said, should be preached in His name throughout all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. We need more exaltation of the name of Jesus today and less exaltation of the names of other people. I'm just going to insert this real quick. It just makes me sicker and sicker to hear so many names brought up. My wife and I went into a... We were visiting a church a couple of weeks ago, and we went in, never been there before, set out. First thing, started rattling off these great heroes, these great preacher heroes, and they're naming them off. It was sickening.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'm telling you, this pulpit is for the exaltation of the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And no matter how great anybody else has been in the eyes of man, and how genuinely good their service has been, their name should not appear to be preeminent to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're to preach in His name. And our prayers are answered when they're made in His name. We've been pardoned from our sins because of His name. And we've been talking about the persecution of believers tonight. The persecution of believers, real genuine persecution, you can't claim it as real persecution unless it's persecution that comes because of His name.
That's right.
Amen. John 15 and 21, but all of these things, Jesus said, will they do to you for My name's sake.
That's
real legitimate persecution there. The church will persevere. Amen. Amen. It's never going to be destroyed. The church is going to persevere, and it'll persevere because of His name. In Revelation chapter 2 and in verse 3, the Lord said, Thou hast borne and hast patience, and for My name's sake hath labored and hath not fainted. Why didn't this church in all of its labors and its persecutions not faint and falter? It was because of Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. His name bears a distinction above every other name.
Amen.
Amen. Acts 4 and in verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name.
That's right.
None. Absolutely none.
Right.
No name to call upon for salvation and get saved except in one name. And that is the name of Jesus Christ. What a name! What a God! What a Savior! God has given him a name that is above every name. Amen. So get happy when you sing a song and it has something to do with Jesus' name. Amen. Be glad when you got a preacher and preachers who exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The exaltation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is something he deserved. Amen. Historically, traditionally, special names have been given to men through the years. I was thinking a while back about in the year 730, in Europe, the Muslims were taking over the whole world. They got as far as Tours, France in 730. And a man came out and met them with a much smaller army by the name of Charles Martel. And he defeated them and set them back for the next several centuries, right up to this present day, because of what happened at the Battle of Tours under the leadership of Charles Martel. And from that day on, he became known not as Charles Martel, but as the Hammer. You think about names like Alexander the Great. Names have been given to people, special names, to heroes, to commemorate their roles in doing great deeds. Well, Jesus fits the bill right here. Amen. Amen. You want to associate a name with great deeds? Amen. Think about the name of Jesus. Amen. There's never been anybody like him.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. The builders of the Tower of Babel, they wanted, the Bible says, to make a name for themselves by building a tower into heaven. We know what happened. Genesis 11 and verse 4 said, "And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make us a name." But our Lord Jesus made a way for us into heaven. Amen.
Amen.
And he wasn't defeated in any way. He accomplished that feat.
That's right. Amen.
He succeeded.
Amen.
And therefore God has given him a name to commemorate what he's done.
Amen.
It's right here in verse 9, the latter part of our text. He's given him a name which is above every name. Now, he's done great deeds. God gave him a special name. I want you to think about the valor. I mean, what Charles Martel did, that was really something. When Alexander the Great conquered all of the known world by the time he was 32 or 33 years old, that was quite an accomplishment. But you put all of those things together that men have ever accomplished. It's nothing like what Jesus has done.
Amen.
And the valor that Jesus has demonstrated. And this is where the wherefore comes in verse 9. Amen. Talk about a valorous captain.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 2 and in verse 10 says, "He's the captain of our salvation, who suffered death for every man so that he could bring many sons into glory."
Amen.
Amen. And he was crowned with glory and honor. A captain is defined as a leader, somebody who carries something through to the end.
Amen.
That's what a captain does. That's the definition of the word captain. I'll look back at the verses just before our text, before verse 9. Let's look at his valor. In verse 6, look at the selflessness of our captain. "Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, But he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. There's the selflessness of our captain. And you go on and look at verse 8 and see the sacrifice of our captain. Talk about valor. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Amen.
The worst kind of death. The most humiliating and shameful, the most excruciatingly painful kind of death that the fallen mind of man could design and engineer. But our Lord Jesus, the captain of our salvation, deserves all of the exaltation we can give him because of the selflessness and the sacrifice involved in his valor that he demonstrated on Calvary for us.
Amen.
Amen. Not only did he demonstrate valor, you know, a lot of men have demonstrated valor, but they haven't delivered any victory. But Jesus delivered a victory. He delivered a victory when he vanquished sin and Satan. That's why I got so excited tonight when Brother Wells started preaching what he preached. I thought, boy, that's great. I thought to myself, thank you, Brother Wells, for introducing my sermon. Amen. Jesus has demonstrated his valor and delivered a victory.
Amen.
When he vanquished sin and Satan. Now vanquish. I like what Brother Wells was saying at the end of his message. When he was talking about nullifying the devil.
Yeah.
Amen. You know what the word vanquish means? It means to annihilate, to trounce, to overwhelm and overcome.
Amen.
It means in common vernacular to hammer, to clobber somebody. Amen. To cream them. Amen. To own them.
Amen.
Hey, the devil has been owned. He's been trounced. He's been hammered. He's been creamed.
Amen.
All because of Jesus. Amen. And his victory over sin and Satan. Not only that, that's not where his victory ends. He vacated a sepulcher. Amen. Talk about a victory. Amen, Brother White. Now Jesus went down into the valley of death. Wow. What a Savior. He went down into the valley of death and he stayed there for 3 days. And during that time he was taunting the devil with the prospects that he might stay there. You know, the devil's, talk about in suffering the insanity of sin. I mean, the devil knows the Bible from beginning to end, and he still does what he does. Amen. He's so caught up with himself, he's like these people Brother Wells was described. He just goes crazy and destroys himself. Jesus laid there in the tomb, and the devil is wringing his hands, and the corners of his mouth probably beginning to turn up a little bit about the second day. The third day, he was probably feeling real, real good. But after those 3 days were done, just at the moment that the devil might have been getting his hopes up, Jesus got up and left. Amen, Brother Larry. He just got up and left.
Amen.
He vacated the sepulcher. And because of this, we can say this. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Amen. Christ is worthy of exaltation because he represents the greatest condescension that has ever been made. And he's responsible for the greatest conquest that's ever was won. Amen. I'm just telling you tonight, I like preaching this sermon 100 times better than the sermons I preached last two. I mean, it's all God's word. But I like this. I like to think about Jesus. Amen. The captain of our salvation. Amen. Amen. God's given him a name that's above every name. You ever heard preachers preach and they go down the alphabet, the names of Jesus? He's the Alpha. Amen. Amen. He's the angel of the Lord. You know, he's the bread of life. He's the chief shepherd and conqueror and all of that. But none of those names, as great as they are, compare with the name God has given him. Amen. God gave it to him. He said, his name shall be called Jesus. Amen. Now, the exaltation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is something that is demanded. Amen. That's a big part of our responsibility and duty and privilege.
That's right.
As individual Christians and as a church.
Yes, sir.
To exalt him. Amen. And we ought to be deliberate about thinking about his exaltation in our services. I don't even want to give any time to it, but all of these smoke screen, Las Vegas style church services and so on and so forth, they're distracting. They distract from Jesus. Amen. Nothing and nobody should be a distraction from Jesus. And when preachers get up and they put on a show, they're distracting from Jesus. When they try to be funny, they're distracting from Jesus. Amen. Let me just say that, put it this plain. That's a sin. Amen. How dare a preacher try to give a half-bit vaudevillian act in a place where Jesus and a time when he is to be exalted.
Amen.
Let me just say it again. It is a sin.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, his exaltation is demanded. There will be unrestrained and unadulterated praise involved. There's coming a day. I mean, today, many times it is adulterated. And not lots of times it's restrained.
Yep.
I mean, have you ever been guilty? I have.
Yes, sir, I have.
Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever felt like really, really praising him, but you just restrained yourself?
Right.
Well, that's the way it is now.
Yep.
Some people are just more restrained naturally than others are. There are a lot of things that can cause people to be restrained in their exaltation of the Lord Jesus. And you really can't blame a lot of people for that. But I'm telling you that people say that's just not the way I'm made up. I mean, really, I understand that. But brethren, some people say, I wish I could. Good news. There's coming a day when there's not going to be any restraint on our worship. Here's how I know that. Verse 10 says, at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Every knee will be lowered in exaltation of him. Amen. Everybody will feel like getting on their knees and they won't be able to restrain themselves. They'll all lower their knees. And furthermore, every tongue is going to be loosed. Amen. There are many of God's children that this goes through their minds. Boy, I'd like to shout right now.
Yeah.
Amen. And sometimes they do, and sometimes they just don't. But there's coming a day when the shout is going to get out for everybody. Amen.
Amen.
Not only is every knee going to be lowered, but every tongue is going to be loosed. And that every tongue should confess. Just think of, there's coming a day of unadulterated, unrestrained praise.
Amen.
Maybe the songwriter had that in mind when he wrote that song, "Won't We Have a Good Time Up in Heaven."
Amen.
Amen. There'll be a universal participation.
Yep.
You'd like everybody to participate today in the exaltation of the Lord Jesus. Well, there's coming a day when there'll be universal participation. In Isaiah 45, verse 22 and 23, the Lord said, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself. The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee should bow." This 700 years before Jesus was born, God said, every knee will bow. And every tongue shall swear. Amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 5 verse 11 says, John said, I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne. Listen to those angels, boy, they're having a time. But see, the angels, as good as they can worship God, and as much as they can get stirred up, they've never experienced what we've experienced. And the Bible says the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth," there's coming a time, "and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever."
Amen.
Amen. Amen. A time of exaltation.
Amen.
It'll be exaltation for the redeemed of all of the ages. I mean, of all the ages.
Amen.
I can't even imagine it. Adam and Eve will be there.
Yep.
And we'll be there right there with them. For the redeemed of all of the ages, it's going to be praise and exaltation. Get yourself there right now in your mind. It'll be a time of praise and exaltation that will always be regarded while we're doing it and everybody else is doing it in heaven. It'll always be throughout eternity. We'll all regard it as praise and exaltation that's too little.
That's right.
Amen. That's the way it'll be for the saved.
Yes, sir.
For the lost of all of the ages, it'll be praise and exaltation because they're going to have to bow their knee and loose their tongue.
Yep.
The most brazen atheist today that denies to give any recognition to God whatsoever except in a stream of profanity,
yep,
is going to loose their tongue and bow their knee and give worship to God.
Amen.
But for them, it will be praise and exaltation that has come too late.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
The worst enemies of Christ are going to be unable to suppress their exaltation. The worst enemies.
Yep.
They're not going to be able to suppress their admiration of Him
right
that sits upon the throne. They're not going to be able to suppress their praise and their wonder at the Son of God. But it'll all be too late for them. It's like a defeated sports team that salutes the valor. You know, when they come off the field, the defeated team salutes the valor of their victorious opponents who won the victory in spite of all they could do against them. But they're still losers. They've still lost. They have to go back into the dark recesses of their locker room defeated. It's like the familiar lines and storylines and some of the historical dramas and movies that have been made about the people that have overcome everything that was thrown against them to win. Amen.
Yes.
It's kind of like stories of our own nation's beginning. When this little old fledgling group of colonists defeated the mightiest empire that the world had ever known,
yes,
the British Empire. And then just a few years later in 1812, this baby nation jumped out of its crib and whipped them again. Amen.
Amen.
That's where you see the hero. Amen. Snatching victory from the jaws of defeat. That's what Jesus did on the cross.
Amen.
Amen. Now, beloved, the time to humble oneself and confess Him is now.
Amen.
If you do it now, you can do it later with rejoicing.
Amen.
If you're lost tonight and you'll humble yourself to Him and get saved, if you'll humble yourself now to Him and exalt Him now, then later on you can do it with rejoicing.
Amen.
But if you don't now, then later on you'll do it not with rejoicing, but with an unending, painful regret.
That's right.
Amen. Every flame in hell will spell out the word too late.
Yes, sir.
Too late. At the great white throne, they will look upon His nail-scarred hands, His nail-scarred feet. And that face, that creation, flees away from.
Amen.
Amen. But they'll find out that there's no place for them.
Yep.
Amen. No place with Him. And they will be seized, and after lowering their knee and confessing with their mouths, they'll be seized and cast into the lake of fire that burneth forever. And then throughout the ages, you and I who are saved are going to be exalting His holy name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for a glorified body. Amen. I've been feeling for Brother Wells with this voice. Having some problem with that voice. Making your throat probably hurt a little bit. You won't have to worry about that for long. Amen.